With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby! What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? Thank you so much for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back, all you previous listeners. If you're new here, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. We do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, I'm pretty sure the weather has finally melted down all the ice in Canada. Am I right?
Well, it was that way for a few days, and now it's freezing cold again. So now all the water that, you know, when snow melts, it turns into water. That is now frozen over. And then we get a nice little skiff of snow on top, nice slippery snow to go on top of the ice. So it's a death trap out there. So I'm nice and warm in my house with my whiskey, with my friends, ready to talk a little Van Halen.
You know, it turns out that I do have family and distant relatives in French Canada, let's put it that way, in the more French side. And I always thought that'd be a great excuse to visit. But more and more every week when we talk about Canada's weather patterns, you go, you're losing me. Maybe I don't want to meet long relatives that bad.
You know, if you're going to French Canada, you're safe between like May and September.
Okay, fair enough. So okay. a summer trip to Quebec, perhaps.
Yeah. If you're coming to Saskatchewan, we'll you got 2 weeks. There's 2 weeks in June where it's nice. If you don't hit that window, you're fucked.
How can I deny a trip to Regina and experience Regina?
Everybody loves Regina. That's right.
Yeah, everyone does. But not as much as I love our guests tonight. And I said guests plural because we are joined by two, let's say, heavy hitters, heavy, I'll say fans of the people. People really enjoy our guests, and they enjoy one guest because they are a frequenter of the show, and they enjoy another guest because this person's just everywhere we seem to go. Corey, you and I, we have a lot of history with one of our guests, but welcome to the show. Our first guest, Jeff Saunders. You know him as the Hillbilly from the Hillbilly Holler. Jeff Saunders, Hillbilly Scribs. How you doing, Jeff? Good to see you, my dude.
And I'm doing fantastic, guys. And I'm thrilled. I'm just thrilled to be back on y'all's program.
We're thrilled to have you, man. We a lot of history with Jeff. We love and adore him, and we appreciate you being on the show. There it is. Take your first shot, everybody. But not to be outdone, returning to the show also, fan favorite, probably, actually, no, it is. I think it was hands down the favorite of all of our guests, Corey,
landslide,
to join the
landslide,
show every
yeah.
time. So please give it up, standing ovation, Van Halen style, to Kelsey, a.k.a. Kelsey Van Halen. What's up, Kelsey?
I'm having a great time. How about y'all?
Very excited to have you back. Yeah,
I'm excited to be here, as always. So
we're excited to have you both. Before we get into the main meat of the show, first, because we have one of our special guests, Jeff Saunders, on the show returning. Jeff, you have something that you are actually here to talk about, something serious and something that is very special to you personally. And we thought, well, why not come on to our show, let our listeners hear it, and please tell us what you got going on, man.
Yes sir. So some of y'all that have known me for a little bit know that I work in the childhood cancer community, And this time of the year, every year, I get involved in a charity called the St. Baldrick's Foundation. And what this charity does is their sole purpose is to raise funding for childhood cancer research. And what this looks like is they help pay for a lot of studies and a lot of research grants that look for better treatments and potentially cures for the different childhood cancers out there. So this is a charity and a cause that's very, very close to my heart. And you guys have been gracious enough to let me come on and talk about it and help get the word out. One thing that that the St. Baldrick's charity does is they pump most of their funding into the research. So they don't spend a lot on advertisement. So doing stuff like this, we're kind of their marketing department. So that's what I'm trying to do tonight is kind of get the word out. I know that y'all have some of the most awesomest listeners in the podcasting listening universe, and I know that there's some good hearts and good souls out there that can definitely give us a hand with this. Some of the things that we're doing is we've got a couple of SHAVE events coming up, and that's kind of what all of our fundraising and our donation drives build towards are these events where some of us volunteer to have our heads shaved. And this is a really, really cool, really sweet, really, really touching way that we can honor and support and show solidarity with kids and young folks that are fighting cancer. Because often with the treatments that they have to go through to fight these things, they lose their hair. So we choose to lose ours with them, and they get a real big kick out of it. And it's just, it really is kind of the highlight of my year. This year is a little bit of an exception because I have been to the barbershop a couple of times, but normally I just let this crap grow all year. And this is my one haircut, but, I did start dating this past year. So I have to look kind of presentable again.
Well, you look dynamite and always.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, of course. That's not all. Jeff, you are, in addition to promoting right here on a show, you are doing your own sort of promotion in your own sort of podcast webosphere. Please tell the people about that.
Okay. one of the podcasts that I've done off and on over the last few years, and it was actually part of the podcast group where I really got close to you guys was from the Feeding the Monster podcast feed. I did a podcast called The Hoot and Holler, which kind of features this wacky character I do called Hillbilly Scribbs. He's sort of it's his show. And it's sort of like a variety comedy show where I do a bunch of other voices and characters. Well, it's called The Hoot and Holler, and we're going to do a live stream YouTube video of The Hoot and Holler called The Hoot and Hollerathon. And it's going to be all for getting the word out and raising more donations for this cause. You will see, which I think you have already seen some of my characters like in live or in real life in 3D, me dressed up. But I'll be dressing up like all of my characters on this. So you'll see Hillbilly Scribbs. You'll see Old Whiskey. You'll see El Scriblo. You'll see Pooh Bear. Pooh Bear. And you'll see Cobra Commander.
Oh, my God.
And maybe some more. But those guys will all be there, and they'll... They'll be part of the show, and they'll be helping to spread the word about St. Baldrick's. And then we'll segue from that to having some live guests on and talking about the SHAVE events and some of our goals and stuff.
That is amazing. If that doesn't get you excited and alone, then I strongly encourage everyone to tune in. March 2nd is your live stream, so please be on the lookout for that. The Hoot and Holler a thon. It's just a variety show of a variety of characters. Just mayhem will ensue, but in the best possible way. I'm saying that from experience of working with Jeff and of just seeing the kind of things that he has come up with over time. This is going to be very, very special and all for a great cause for St. Baldrick's. So yeah, more on that later. We'll get into it later, but thank you, Jeff, for sharing that with us, and thank you for being on the show. So without further ado, let's kind of get into it. Corey, what is going on in the Van Halen news world?
Well, I tell you what, there was one big piece of Van Halen news. And remember last time we were talking about the cat was out of the bag, Sammy Hagar finally working on remasters of the Sammy part of the Van Halen catalog for release on vinyl. They announced, mm-hmm. and we talked about the first album coming up was going to be live right here, right now. And we kind of wondered, why go with the live album for the first one? Well, there's a reason. It's going to be released on Record Store Day, and there's only going to be 7,500 of them pressed. So if you want a copy of Live Right Here, Right Now, you better act quick on April 22nd, because it's only going to be released to independent record stores. It's an exclusive there. There's only 7,500. It's going to be very hard to come by. It's about $100, but it's four LPs. You got the entire two-disc release put on three of the vinyl albums. Then there's a few extra bonus tracks, including Eagles Fly and The Dream Is Over and Mine All Mine. So those, and Mine All Mine was never, or Mine All Mine was released on a Japanese edition. Eagles Fly and The Dream Is Over, never released before on CD, now being released on vinyl. It's only on vinyl, on nice, beautiful red vinyl, coming out April 22nd. And not even on the Van Halen news desk. That's how fresh this news is, Mark. But I immediately had to find out, where in Saskatchewan is there an independent record store where I could get my copy of this, right? There's one in Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. So our good friend Kevin Brown, God bless him, I called him up and I said, dude, you got to help me out. There's only 7,500 of these things. And he has a connection at one of the record stores. He's going to make sure that there's a couple of these albums coming our way, one for him, one for me. But I recommend you go to your local record store and make sure they can get you one, because there's not going to be a lot of them.
No, I can't imagine. So I am not personally a vinyl collector myself. I know that seems wrong, but it's just never happened. However, I'm looking at what these things look like. I would absolutely buy these for $100 for the four of them. That's a steal to me, in my opinion. So yeah, be on the lookout for that, guys. As Corey said, there's only so many left, fresh, hot off the presses, just like these albums here. That's amazing. I am looking forward to seeing what my city turns into as far as the record collectors, because, you know, I live in Nashville. There's a ton of people who are obsessed with collecting, and on Record Store Day, the city can get pretty messy. So this is going to send them all into a frenzy, I would imagine. There's a lot of Van Halen fans out this way. So if you are one of those, you heard Corey. Be sharp on Record Store Day. Go get your copy while you can. Get up early, but make sure your coffee is strong. And I'm sure I'm going to need some strong coffee for this next round, because it's time to check into the rockin' polls. And I wonder how the voting has turned out. I personally did not look at it this week because I just wanted to be surprised. Corey, what were you surprised by the poll results? What are the poll results exactly?
I was surprised, and I'll tell you in a second. First, I wanted to get Kelsey's input on the song Little Guitars, because I don't know if she voted on that and she didn't comment on it. Kelsey, are you a fan of Little Guitars?
Oh my God, I love Little Guitars. When I remember like discovering that song and being like, oh, what is this? Señorita. It's a banger. I love Little Guitars.
But I tell you what, you're not alone. This is actually the biggest landslide and the podcast will rock history. 98.6% what dreams are made of, only 1.4% this dream is over out of 148 votes. So that is our biggest spread. Yep, that is our biggest
spread. That is. This is the kind of voting I would have expected from Jump or Unchained. I was sure Unchained was going to go that way, and it didn't. It was still a very, very large margin, but still, apparently our listeners just we called it. We called it because we've had a lot of our listeners chime in and say, like, can't wait for you guys to spin Little Guitars, or they are manifesting Little Guitars every time we do one of these live shows, because we see it in the chat. you got your wish this time, and I guess it shows. People really enjoy this tune. So what are they saying about it?
All right. Some of the comments are our buddies from the Deep Purple podcast said, well, first they asked, is this the biggest differential in show history? And yes, it is, actually.
Yep.
They say, I'm kind of sort of with Mark on this one. I definitely like it, but I don't really hold it in as high regard as most Van Halen fans do. That being said, it's a really good track.
Yes. See, they get it. The Deep Purple podcast guys, they understand me. And thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Judas Priestcast, they said Little Guitars might just be the sleeper classic from Van Halen.
Sleeper classic. I like that. Yep.
Hard to argue with that. Our good buddy Rava Flav is back and says, once again, this terrific podcast delivers. Your backstory on the intro makes a big difference to me. Upbeat tune, unusual rhythm, and yet another rare DLR song that doesn't repeat the title of the song as the chorus. And the live concert use of the mini Les Paul, wonderful. There you go. Thank you, Rava Flav. Hashtag Esteban. Yep.
Nicely done.
Trockman 5150 says, etch a sketch, anybody in the right mind could see it's you and me. Now, according to the lyrics we found, is actually catch as catch can, not etch a sketch, but that's a very common misunderstood lyric.
Funny as hell.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it was etch a sketch.
Yeah, I know, right? He goes on to say, yep, Dave is in the zone with his lyrics. LOL, love Eddie's flamenco style intro, which sets the mood for the song. Great summer song to kick back, crank up, and crack a beer to. Absolutely.
Ride with the windows down.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. 100%.
False Premise is the section towards the end where Eddie's solo is layered over his tapping riff while DLR sings the yearning, oh, oh, still makes the hair on my arm stand tall. This is my entry Van Halen album. Bought it when it came out in 82 and love it.
I have to chime in real quick because apparently... and I was told by one of our fans via Facebook, messaged me directly just to let me know that they enjoyed the show. However, I was absolutely wrong when I said Eddie's using the fret tapping technique on this song. This person said, nope, that's not right. And you're driving me crazy every time you mention it on the show. Didn't want to be a dick. Just wanted to let you know. And I could have just accepted that, but instead I did some due diligence and I looked up as many live performances of Little Guitars as I possibly could, and I'm here to announce that Eddie is not doing the fret tapping like I thought. He is able to create this sound illusion that sounds like he's tapping the frets, but he's not. So dear guy that messaged me, you win.
And there's a couple of guys in the comments that kind of said the same thing, but they do it nicely. So I'm always cool with getting corrected when it's done nicely. So thank you for
that. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yep. Darren Wilburn says, not surprised. I'm firmly convinced that you can't call yourself a true Van Halen fan if you don't like Little Guitars.
Agreed.
Yep.
There you go.
Scotty Monroe, an upbeat, happy tune that makes me think of rolling down the windows on a road trip. DLR sings a sweet, simple story. Alex has such great touch, as always. Killer riff and tapping by Eddie. Not tapping, apparently. Would have liked more Mikey on bass and harmonies, but it's all good. Hashtag WDAMO.
What dreams are made of.
Yep. All right. Heath McCoy's back. Says, what dreams are made of all the way. Just about to listen and so stoked. I hope you guys picked up on the meaning of the catch as catch can chorus. Apparently, that's a professional wrestling term, which I never knew before.
Wow, I'm a wrestling fan, and I didn't know that. So I'll need a refresher. So Heath McCoy, if that is your real name, and it's not Heath Murphy, please educate me, because I want to know.
I have
good.
Right,
thank you, Corey. Yeah. Educate me.
Catch as catch can is a wrestling term which refers more or less to real grappling as opposed to the predetermined worked matches for the purpose of entertainment and pro wrestling. So catch as catch can is real. In the context of Little Guitars, as I read it, I think Dave is saying his love for the Senorita is real. Anybody in the right mind could see it's you and me. It makes sense to me because Dave is often alluded to being a huge wrestling fan. If you think about it, even as cocky, larger than life, fast on the mic, flamboyant, but macho stage persona is not far removed from the Ric Flairs of the world. And then
it's all in the leotard, but yeah, I can see that.
Because I think when he toured with Sammy, he even posted it with all the hype of a wrestler cutting a promo. Or sorry, he even posed it with all the hype of a wrestler cutting a promo as a sort of death match between the two of them each and every night. where they were each trying to blow each other off the stage. It's a really clever lyric with more depth than people realize, and misleading to you because I think most people really do think he's on about an Etch-a-Sketch, because that's how Keith had heard it for years as well.
Think like a super kick would be his finishing move.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Or spinning probably the, so. The yeah. spinning
with the fur boots.
Oh yeah.
With those fur boots on.
He's pretty deadly with that mic stand too, though, because remember when he
I'm
cut his nose?
I'm thinking of the exact outfit. Yeah. Hold up. I'm gonna tweet it right now.
Perfect.
Like every outfit I've ever recall seeing Dave in reminds me of wrestling gear. So oh, that yeah. absolutely yeah. Yeah, that tracks. I can't believe I didn't make that connection before. Wow. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Heath. Let's go on now to Ryan Powell. Probably the best from Diver Down and a strong hidden gem overall. Love that distinctive staccato riff. I was going to ask Mark the Bat to stop trying to manifest right now to save that one for me, but given his track record, it may be safe for him to keep trying. Because,
you're not wrong.
Yeah. So now we know the song Ryan is trying to manifest when he comes on the show in just a few weeks here.
Well, I hope he's right. So because the sooner we can get to that song, the better, because I really want to talk about it.
You know what? It might be happening on Fuck It February next Saturday, because if we don't do a fuck song, what are we even doing, as Tom pointed out?
Exactly.
Yeah. Fat Man on Guitar says, hashtag what dreams are made of. This is a gem that doesn't get its due because of the unfounded Diver Down hate. Alex sets things up perfectly, and the guitar in the intro is one of the first hints as to where Eddie's guitar sound would go in the Sammy era. Absolute classic.
I feel like that's a lot with Diver Down and especially Secrets is one of my all time favorite Eddie songs. And it just shows that Eddie can do it. Like, he doesn't have to be super complicated with his rhythm. He can make a perfect riff. If it's just super simple, he makes it sound great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Van Halen lyrics account says, oh yeah, you're exactly what the doctor ordered. Great song. Little guitars sing to me. There you go.
Nicely done.
Robert Cato, listen to the episode. Awesome as usual. Note, Eddie is plucking three strings very quickly to make that sound on a mini Les Paul. In studio, it also sounds to me like he has some lighter flanger or harmonizer going on as well.
Exactly. So thank you.
Yeah. Kevin Brown, my hero, who's going to get me that copy of Live right here, right now on vinyl, says, best thing, Diver Down by absolutely miles. One of their best offbeat songs, and I like the Etch-a-Sketch. I always thought it was line. It's so breezy and light. Hashtag what dreams are made of all day long. DLR's delivery really reminds me of Colin Hay from Minute Work in this one. Really staccato. That's kind of a cool comparison.
Ooh, yeah. Didn't think about that before. Good catch there, Kevin.
And actually, Kevin and Sean from the Sean Geek podcast, they kind of go down a rabbit hole on Colin Hay and Minute Work. It's kind of cool if you want to check that out on this Twitter
check
thread.
Check that here. Out, yeah, absolutely.
Our good friend Michael Green says, stellar track, moving into my top 15. This song is a hidden gem on Diver Down because no one talks about that album. I love the fun guitar on this song. Great backing vocal. Alex doing Alex. Dave's vocals are spot on. Hashtag what dreams are made of.
Nice. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Greg Zito says, the first time I heard Diver Down and there was a Spanish guitar intro, I didn't know what to think. I mean, this was a Van Halen album, but Van Halen was never afraid to do something different. In the end, we got a great track, and I had images of dancing senoritas in my teenage head. All right, Davey Lee Smith says, the tune where Eddie plays an actual little guitar. Little guitars makes me happy and it feels good. What's not to like? Sing to me. And as Tom Rumbruster kind of proved too, not only did Eddie play a little guitar on stage, Mikey had a little bass too.
Just a little bass.
Yeah, just a little bass. Where we are. Back to Robert Cato. I wonder if that is also why the song is called Little Guitars, and DLR mentions it in the song. A great rendition of this to see live on YouTube is the US Festival. Band is going nuts, and you can see EVH playing on the little guitar. So there you go. Check that out.
In his beautiful overalls.
That's right. Speaking of the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast, Sean says, I have a love for Diver Down for this simple reason. When I would sneak into Fast Fret's room to steal a cassette, this one wasn't in the car. So this album got an inordinate amount of plays from me. So, Robert Cato's back.
No shocker there.
Yeah. Another one of the best. EVH's guitar work is mesmerizing as always. And the lyrics, I used to drop the line to ladies in high school, Señorita, do you need a friend? I'm in love with you. And I believe somebody asked, how did that work out for you? And he said, well, I had lots of friends and the girls thought it was funny, cute. And I did end up with a high school sweetheart. So I guess ultimately it worked out great. So good for you there, Robert.
Yeah, right on.
Van Halen making a love connection. There you go.
Van Halen has the power to do anything.
Absolutely.
Seems that way.
GHSAP McPeak says, great tune. Harmonies are fantastic, and Ed's little guitar is very unique in this one. Always sing along with this song while the windows are down. The volume is up, and the wind is blowing through what's left of my hair.
That seems to be a regular consensus. This is one of those that you just drive and chill to, and I am all about it.
100%. Stephen H. says, the intro in itself is awesome. Then Alex's drums come in, and bam, they are off. Diver Down doesn't get enough love. Hang 'em High is so good. Oh, can't argue
with
that.
Starting to think it's true, yeah.
Yeah. And finally, Mike Griffith says, this album is so underrated, along with Secrets. There you go, Kelsey. Just so poetic and breezy. It's a Dave album, but a summer vibe. That Alex drum intro is fantastic, as is Ed's little guitar. And those are the Twitter comments.
Nicely done. Thank you, Corey. Thank you to everyone who contribute their thoughts. Thank you for giving us your reasons as to why you vote the way you do. We didn't hear much from the 1.whatever% of the naysayers, but that's fine. It's fine. But if you don't like a particular Van Halen song, you know, we appreciate the constructive criticism. We appreciate the feedback. So if you have a good reason and you're not going to be a dick about it, don't be shy. Let us know. Let us know in the comments, on the poll. God knows the guys that typically tweet out and comment on these songs are not afraid to share their opinion, even if it's negative. So don't be afraid to share it, but, you know, just do it respectfully. Don't be just atrociously assholish about it. That's all we ask. But nevertheless, no hate going towards little guitars, and I expected no less. Incredible voting results, though. Kind of wish that was the results for Unchained, but it's over. It's done. It's in the past. We'll move on. We'll just, but now I'm worried about how songs like Right Now are going to be judged. I'm worried about what Ain't Talking About Love is going to be judged by, because those songs are near and dear to my heart. So if it's not voted a certain way, Mark might just lose it, but maybe not. We'll see. We'll find out. If it happens in the live show, you're really going to see what it's like. So be sure to quick segue. February 25th, tune into the live show for Fuck It February, because it's going to get crazy, I'm sure. But with that being the case now, Corey, it's time to actually get into the show. What do you say? What do you say we do the thing that we love to do? And that is, say it with me, everybody, raise your glass, manifestations. Yay! It's everyone's favorite part, where we manifest a song and it typically doesn't happen the way we want it to, unless you're Corey, because Corey has shot his shot three times, and it's happened. It has not happened for me at all. So I'm just going to go straight to Corey. Corey, tonight, we have two amazing guests on the show. We're ready to get down on some Van Halen tunes. What song do you want to manifest for this show?
Well, Kelsey's here. And I love Kelsey. She's one of my favorite people and our favorite guest. And
I love you guys too.
I get the feeling are you a Fair Warning fan?
Not at all.
I know you have an affinity for that album. And so I'm thinking maybe hear about it later would be great to hear.
I have my first Van Halen tattoo is Fair Warning. It's on my wrist.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So hear about it later. That's my manifestation for tonight.
Ooh, all right.
Now, remember, good Jeff stuff, doesn't right? know a lot of Van Halen, so maybe we'll just ask him, pick a front man. Who do you want to hear sing tonight? David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar, or Gary Cherone?
Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah! Right.
That's a good one, but it's a different show. That is maybe good. On fucking February, we'll do Jimmy Buffett.
Margaritaville.
unless there happens to be a recording of Jimmy Buffett covering Van Halen. I don't know if it exists.
Oh, we got to try and find that now, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That would be incredible. I don't know. How about y'all take my manifestations and split it three ways and share it amongst yourselves?
Well, that's nice.
Really, I just want to hear a song I haven't heard before, which is probably going to be the majority of them.
Considering Jump is off the wheel. Yeah, I'm thinking you've never heard whatever this is going to be. So
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, there's a good chance you might hear one of their big hits, but we've done a lot of their big hits already. So I don't know. We will see if the wheel wants to be kind to you, Jeff, because typically she's not kind to us. But Kelsey, You already heard from Corey. He is manifesting a fair warning track. How about you? What do you want to talk about on the show?
Well, it's so funny because I was going to say, hear about it later. That was literally, I was like looking at that and I was like, oh my God. But if not that, I would love to hear, if it's Dave, I would love to hear Girl Gone Bad. I will never stop talking about how much I love that song because there's so many good ones on 1984. I feel like no one really pays attention to that one. Yep. So that would be my manifestation.
That's a good one. All right.
And I'm going straight to the Fuck album itself. And no, I'm not manifesting right now, although I would love it. I want to hear Pound Cake. I just really want, I think that would just be just a good solid tune to sink our teeth into. And maybe Jeff even knows it. I don't know. We'll see. Yes, Pound Cake.
I love Pound
Cake.
I
need to hear it. Yes, it's
a song. For the people reaching out saying, stop manifesting the big hits, manifest some deeper tracks. Mark's like, fuck you. I want Pound Cake.
I want Pound Cake. So when I posted my like Spotify like Wrapped, Pound Cake was my most listened to song. And someone like replied and was like, well, why Pound Cake? And I literally was like, what is that supposed to mean? It's like, why like, not?
Why not? Yeah.
It's like, it's a banger. That's why.
just get out of your life. If they don't understand why Pound Cake, just bye.
Block.
Yeah. So a follow up will be Light Up the Sky, perhaps. Then there you go. Is that not deep enough for you? But whatever. It's my manifestation. You manifest who whatever you want. I'll keep doing me. But there it is. There's our manifestation. So hold it deep in your mind. Really try to just make that wheel do what it do, and maybe it'll be kind to you. Maybe it won't, but we'll find out. Corey, if you're ready, if Kelsey's ready, if Jeff is ready, I know I'm ready. Hopefully Sammy's ready in the back. Let's spin the wheel. Oh, wait, we got to prime it.
That's right. So in honor of our good friend Jeff Saunders, who's doing his live stream on March 2nd, that's March is the third month, 2nd is the second day. Let's shuffle this thing five times. One, two, three, four, five. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Coming up to, wow, this is way out there. This is That's Why I Love You.
I would have done Summer Nights, bro.
So this is an unreleased track from Van Halen 3.
Oh. Guys, I have to go.
Wow. He just let you, the router's too far.
Oh my God.
You wanted a deep cut. They don't get much deeper than this.
Yeah, it's so deep, no one's heard of it.
That's right. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Well, actually, let me just go ahead and
actually.
Oh, do you know this one, Jeff?
No.
Do you know this one?
Okay. Wouldn't that be a twist? Jeff is unfamiliar with most of Van Halen's catalog, except for Van Halen 3. Oh, that would just I would be so infuriated, but I would laugh so hard just because of that fact. I'm just gonna say it right now at the top before we even get into the song. Apologies to Gary. There you go. But I don't know. Hey, look, we have been pleasantly surprised at least once with this album. So maybe there's a good chance it can happen again. I don't know. Right off the bat, I have no connection to this song. As you listeners know, Van Halen 3 and me are not friends. At all. So I've got no standing in this race in terms of how I feel about it or what my connection is to it. Corey, do you have a connection to this particular track?
I don't think I've ever heard it before. This is just one of those ones. We actually had a fan reach out and just say, hey, are you going to do the two unreleased tracks from Van Halen 3? Because they were released on Japanese releases, so they're technically official releases of Van Halen. So I'm like, sure. So I was able to find it on YouTube, and we threw it on the wheel, and we did one. Actually, one is from Van Halen 3, this one we're covering tonight. The other one, Crossing Over, was from Balance, which we've also already covered and actually really, really That's enjoyed. Right. We'll find out what we think about That's Why I Love You. I'm just trying to find some trivia on it. It was dropped from the album at the last minute in favor of Josefina.
Oh, I see. Well, we'll go to the more of the resident expert on the band so far. Kelsey, are you familiar with this track?
No. I have like steered as clear as I can from Van Halen 3 because like I'm too scared. So this will be interesting.
Understandable for sure. There's probably, because this was unreleased, there's probably a good number of you folks out there that might not be familiar with this one whatsoever. This might be a very fresh take for all of us. Excluding Eric Sinich. I'm sure Eric Sinich knows this one up and down. He probably has all the trivia knowledge. He probably knows how they were, what gum they were chewing whilst recording, probably. I don't know.
What Eddie was wearing.
Yeah, he definitely knows what Eddie was
what
wearing.
What Alex's mustache looked like.
How many takes it took Gary to do this. Like, yeah, just all the trivia. So, but that's why we like Eric, and that's why we appreciate him. So there you go.
Now, I have to correct myself. I don't think this was on a Japanese release. I'm going to go to CL Chivers and the Van Halen Encyclopedia, a great resource for Van Halen fans. And I'll just read his little blurb on That's Why I Love You. And he says, this unreleased original was planned for inclusion on Van Halen 3, but was replaced by Josefina. Since the song was on test pressings of Van Halen 3 at Warner Brothers, it wasn't long before it became available in the bootlegging community. This was the first unreleased studio track since the Dave era to make it into public circulation. This was also the first song Dave worked on with the band when he returned to 5150 in 1996. So that's kind of cool. Gary and Ed wrote the song at least partially over the phone, disagreeing on a proper style for the vocals on the track.
Huh. Interesting. Drama. All the drama. All the drama surrounding this album, of course. I'm not shocked by that.
This is going to be interesting. What do you say, everybody? You're ready to hear a little That's Why I Love You, an outtake, a bootlegged outtake from Van Halen 3?
I think so. I hope everybody else is. So we'll see how it goes. Okay, well, right away, we're greeted with a familiar guitar tone of Eddie, but maybe it's just me, but the mixing sounds like it's a little off. Maybe that has to do with the fact that this track is, I guess, well, I mean, it's finished, but you know what it sounds? It sounds like a demo to me. Like it sounds like it's not a remastered or like a mastered and completely mixed track. It sounds like it was like, well, let's demo this out and see where we're at with it, which would equals let's see if we like it or hate it, and if we hate it, we just won't put it on the album. So I don't know what that says, but a lot of Alex though right off the bat, and then Gary's doing his thing where it sounds like, I'm not sure if he's just being Gary and Van Halen or if he's trying to do a little bit of a mashup of Sammy Dave together, because the vocal style certainly gives me that impression, but I don't know. How are you guys feeling so far? Good answers.
All of that.
Kelsey shrugs.
It sounds very unpolished. So, I mean, it definitely probably needed a little more work before they threw it on a real record.
Yeah, this would have been on a test pressing, so it probably wasn't mixed at all or mastered in any
sounds
way.
About
so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that mean we can do a different song?
Oh, Kelsey, my dear, that's not the show, though.
Kelsey, get out.
Yeah, if this was the live show, I might have allowed that caveat.
This
hey,
just
they don't
solidifies.
Know. We can just cut it out.
That's true. They don't know so far.
All this means is that Kelsey has to come back for fucking February next Saturday night, and guaranteed to spin not a Gary song. I pretty much can guarantee that.
There you go.
I love Eddie's tone.
Yeah.
That's always I always say, I know I've said this on the show before, but I always say, like, when people ask me, like, Van Halen or Van Hagar, I'm like, well, Eddie always sounds good to me. So like now Gary Cherone is a different story, but I like, Gary. I know, but when I just don't think his voice fits Van Halen. Like it's really good. And I think it fits like more like, not that Van Halen isn't hard per se, but like more harder, like hardcore rock, like versus like what Van Halen is. So I don't know. Like
more extreme.
Literally. Yeah, I was trying to not say that.
Yeah. Like, say it. Just like, yeah, the pun intended, like something extreme. A little bit more extreme, you know? Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. No. And I think like, I love like Alex's drums in here sound great. Like everything sounds, I just say, yeah, it doesn't sound like it fits together to me so far.
So far. Yeah. It's still early.
Yeah.
Hey, when you said that Dave worked on this with them, Dave would kill this song.
Yes.
He would. Like this yep. sounds just like if it was his vocals, like this would be A1.
Can't argue with that. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I got to agree with Eddie. I'm going back to the Van Halen Encyclopedia where it says Gary and Ed wrote the song at least partially over the phone, disagreeing on a proper style for the vocals on the track. And if this was Gary's idea, then I agree with Ed. This is maybe isn't the best vocal style for this track. The music, I think, is really, really good. But it's
groovy.
It's the lyrics and the vocal style that are really kind of taking me out of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. It's because it sounds like Gary can't figure out what he wants to do with it.
Yeah,
so
what tone?
I don't know. It really makes me wonder. I have to wonder if Gary had a completely different sort of vocal style presented and Eddie maybe said, I don't know, can you do it a little bit more like classic Dave? Van Halen? You know, hint, hint, like Dave, you know, something like that. Can you do it something more like that? And Gary said, okay, I'll try it. And this is what we got.
We're like, never mind.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, never mind. It doesn't work. And you might be right, Corey. Maybe it was Gary doing this and Eddie going, no, I don't think this is going to work. So far, it's not working for me. That's what I can say.
Did he just really say another one of those who flew over the cuckoo?
Bars. According to this lyric sheet, yeah.
My goodness, yeah.
Bring back Etch-a-Sketch. He didn't even sing it. It almost sounded like he gave up. I don't know how to sing this part, so I'm gonna speak it, which screams to me, I'm trying to channel my inner David Lee Roth so bad. And I don't know if I'm succeeding. And in hindsight, because we're listening to this post hints, no, you're not succeeding in that form, Gary. Not so far, anyway.
If anyone that's like follows you and listens to this podcast, and knows about the song, and like we're completely wrong, I can't wait for that reply just ripping us to shreds.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Same.
I hope that there is. Because I would love to know.
You guys blaming it all on Gary.
No.
Everybody knows Alex wrote those lyrics. Oh, okay. I never heard this fucking song before.
We always have to clear up. That's why I even said at the top before we started the show, like, apologies to Gary, because I know at some point I'm going to end up ripping him to shreds because of however he's going to sound. Because the way he sounds on this album, it just doesn't sound like Gary Cherone to me. We're talking about Gary Cherone of Extreme. This man is capable of some incredible vocals. We say it all the time, but something about him recording with Van Halen on this record just didn't work. And I think we can speculate all we want about the reasons why. The biggest reason, they should have toured with him first. They absolutely should have. To find a rapport, find a connection, find his, dare I say, voice within the band. But that didn't happen. So,
and here he is talking through the song. When you have Gary Cherone in your band, you don't have him talk through a song. Whether this was an Eddie call or a Gary call, it's the wrong call.
Yeah, I agree.
See, when Gary shuts up, it's actually quite a nice song.
No, I was
that's exactly like, I think we were all vibing. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's a good groove. Like, yes, get more of that, please.
No, and it then, sounds really good.
Yeah. I didn't even mind the terrible mixing in that part, in that section, just because the groove was so well done.
And we kind of have to ignore the mixing just because this is a you know, unreleased track.
Correct, so. Yes.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, it sounds a little unpolished, but I think most of the unpolished part is the singing. The music.
You're not wrong.
I agree. Y'all, it sounds pretty good. But that poor guy, I don't think he knows what he wants to do.
It really sounds like he's trying to sing like David, which, like, if you've ever tried to sing like David, David doesn't really sing. He just kind of speaks. Yeah, he but then that's like not that. Like, he has some great vocals. Like, I think he's a great vocalist, but I think he's a better like front man. But like, you can't like really mimic that, especially with like the way Gary Cherone sings. Like, it's not even in the same like realm. But I think it just doesn't sound good from him like trying to mimic Dave. That's what I'm like getting out of this.
Yeah, I agree. As someone that is a master of bad impersonations, this sounds like a bad impersonation.
Yeah. And you notice when Sammy would do Dave songs, he didn't try to sing it like Dave. He sang it like Sammy. Listen to how he does Jump.
It's because it's Sammy.
Ain't Talking About Love. Yeah. Gary should do that. Just be Gary and knock this out of the park. Not, that's why I love you, babe. Ow, only you, babe. How you pull me through, babe.
You always do.
I'm glad you hit that high note. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the Pooh Bear rendition of Jump, just to let you know, Jeff. So don't sell yourself short.
You got a week to practice next Saturday. Fucking February. Pooh Bear better be singing Jump.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's get back to this song. All right. Did you hear Mike in there? Like, I'm wondering, because it was like a demo or like a workprint version, right? Was did they actually put Mikey in for the harmonies? Do you think he was in there?
No way.
It didn't sound like it, did it?
No.
I heard the harmonies.
Yeah.
I heard the harmonies, but I think
it sounded like
just
a temp track, though.
I think that was either maybe Eddie contributing or maybe Gary doing
Gary doubling,
doubling up. But that time, I don't know if you guys heard it or maybe I'm just crazy, but that time it sounded like Gary was trying his best Sammy Hagar.
Just be Sammy.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually thought that like whole little phrase was actually kind of good. Like,
yeah. Gary's driving me crazy on this song.
Yeah.
I mean,
with the choices made. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the benefits we have that the listeners don't have is we have the lyrics in front of us. If I didn't have those, I wouldn't have any idea what he was singing or saying.
Nope. He's making it difficult with the vocalization. And again, we don't know who had the bright idea to do it this way. Was it Gary? Was it Eddie? Is that what they fought about? Like, I don't know. But all we can tell you is what this end result was. But yeah, no, I'm with you, Jeff. I'm glad the lyrics were in front of me because he's making it very difficult to understand.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
I was going to say, that was beautiful. Good,
yeah. Loved it. That was
very
fantastic.
Good solo.
Eddie always sounds good.
That's good crazy. Solo. Good good kind of like a key change and then the modulation back into our original key. Very well done. I like that. Maybe they felt like this song needs at least a little bit of extra flavor. What can we do? Let me try this to help it out. It certainly helps it. I don't know if it saves it yet, but I don't know if it saves it, but we'll find out. Yeah, but it helped it.
Can we get the version without Gary on here? Because
I know
there was a moment right before this last section where Eddie is just, you know, going off the rails, and it might have sounded like there was another vocalist, or maybe Gary was doing something else with his vocals, but no, that was Eddie, almost in a way of him saying, you know what, your vocals aren't working, let me try, making his guitar literally sing so that it sounded like a different vocalist. And again, like, I don't know if that was the intent, but it certainly sounds like it. That said, well done, Eddie, because that was a very, very cool guitar work.
All right, folks, we went deep diving this week. Unreleased track from Van Halen 3. And for all the folks in the call, you're going to be able to see this. But please go to podcastwillrock.com, click on merch, and get your Apologies to Gary t-shirt. It comes in a variety of shapes and sizes. You can get it on a coffee mug. You can get it on a sticker. Although I don't feel like apologizing too hard to him tonight. Mark Kammeyer, I'll throw it back to you, and you can get final thoughts, and we can start the voting round.
Yeah, we should. Let's just go ahead and start the voting.
All right, Mark, let's start with you.
Sure.
You never kick it off, Mark Kammeyer. God, did Eddie Van Halen save the song? Let's find out. Is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I mean, my track record with this particular album is, this should be no surprise. Look, I don't know. There's just so much. Look, we're simple fans. We're not experts. I was not in the room when they were recording. I was not in there during rehearsals for anything. So I can only speculate as to the mindset. I don't know whose decision it was for Gary to do the vocals that he does on this album, on this particular song specifically as well. Whatever it is, so far, in Van Halen 3, and we've done quite a few tracks, none of it has worked except for like that one song, but none of it's worked. There's probably a good reason as to why this track did not make it into the final album rotation with, I mean, honestly, from what we heard, with good reason. There's nothing remarkable about this. Eddie tries his best. Eddie is trying his best. The music, let me take nothing away from the way the music is structured in this song. It's actually, this song should cook. This song should smoke and just be really, really awesome. I reiterate what Kelsey said earlier. Dave would crush this track. He absolutely would crush it. Would this make it a Van Halen classic? Probably not, but that's okay. He would absolutely crush it. This song sounds like it would have been very well tailored for David Lee Roth. But also, you know, if it were during the Sammy era, Sammy would crush it because Sammy crushes. So I don't know. Something about Gary singing in Van Halen is just not working. Every time we go through this with this album, for me, it just doesn't work. And although I love that solo, I love what everybody is doing in the band, except for Gary, I'm sorry. It just wasn't enough to save it for me. As I said, there's a reason why this was left off the album, and that's saying something. This is my least favorite we have covered so far, the album. I mean, Van Halen 3, as you all know, and if this one could not make the final cut, then, I mean, what does that tell you about their confidence level with this track? And you heard it. You heard it right here. It's it belonged in the cutting room floor, so nope, can't do it. The dream is over for this song. So moving on, we'll go to Kelsey. We'll go with you. All right, you could spot some things that you were digging about this track. But all in all, would you say that this is what dreams are made of, and they should have just left it on the main album, or is the dream over?
So, I first want to say, like, with the way that recording is now and the way that mixing is now, with some master mixing, the song could have hit, like, for real. Like, I think even if, like, with the technology we have now, like I said, Gary's voice would sound much better. Like, I think the music sounds great. Like, I would put this on if Gary wasn't on it. Like, I would still jam out, because I think Eddie sounds awesome and I think Alex sounds awesome, and I think it all sounds like a Van Halen song, and I think it had like real potential. And I think if it was, like, put some time into it and maybe now, like, mixed and remastered, I think it could have been a hit. But I think, like, all in all, I think it sounded great. Like, it had potential to be, like, a really good song, but they probably were so over it at this point. They were like, you know what? I don't even want to. They were like, I don't know what he's doing on vocals, so let's just get it out of here. So, but I thought it was, like, I really thought, like, it's a good, like, the structure of the song is really good, and the way Eddie sounds, I always think Eddie sounds good. So I would have jammed to it if it was released, maybe not as enthusiastically if it was, like, as if it was a David song, but I still think it was pretty good.
All right. Well, we're 50-50 so far. So, like, a very, very good diplomatic answer as to why. It's like, yeah, give him the benefit of the doubt there. Well, that's awesome. So, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. Jeff, the resident non-Van Halen expert to the max extreme, if I'm allowed to say. But this this particular track, how did it work for you? Would you say that this is what dreams are made of, or was the dream over?
Well, so, like, as we've mentioned before, I didn't really grow up, like, listening to a whole bunch of Van Halen. Didn't really grow up listening to a lot of rock and roll until I got older and you know, was able to. I have heard of Van Halen with David Lee Roth. I've heard of the Van Hagar with Sammy Hagar. I've never heard of Van Gary until I started listening to you guys. I knew Gary Cherone from Extreme, but I until I started listening to y'all's show, I didn't realize that he fronted for this band. And there's a reason I probably didn't know that. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I okay. really think he just doesn't really fit with this. I don't really feel like he kind of knew exactly where he wanted to go with what he was doing in this song. Now the song itself, the music is badass. Like mm-hmm. he took the vocals away. I could totally hear this being like the background in any 80s movie, especially like a fun caper montage. I don't know. That's what I'm seeing like when I'm listening to it, with hijinks ensuing and all kinds of good 1980s flavor. But the song I really like. It's just the singing doesn't do it for me. And like Kelsey said, if they had the technology to clean it up, or even if they went back in the studio and maybe tried some other ways of doing it, we might have a totally different song. We might have a big hit on our hands. And as someone who likes to be positive and see the silver linings in the worst of storms, I'm going to say, based on the music behind that voice,
well, good diplomatic answer, even though you ruined the format of the show, but good job, Jeff. But hey, oh, wow, look at that. I am outnumbered, and I have a feeling perhaps I will be continuously outnumbered if I know my podcasting partner. However, sometimes Corey throws us all for a loop. So, Corey, you are the deciding vote. Is this song rightfully on the cutting room floor because the dream is over, or are you just going to let grand optimism of Jeff Saunders and Kelsey pull you up to the clouds?
Oh, God!
Let's go! Wow.
I kept thinking the entire time with like a better lyricist and a better vocal performance, this is going to be a kick-ass song. Mm-hmm. Like Sammy would have knocked this out of the park. Maybe mention Sammy, what he could have done with this. If he would have got this music bed and laid some stuff down on this, it would have been fantastic. Dave, of course, would have killed it. Gary almost killed it in the other way because he was so bad. And I was writing that line the whole time, Mark, until we kind of got to that solo. And then past the solo, the little shit that Eddie was doing, I thought, man, that's really cool stuff. If I just kind of tune Gary out, if I just pretend like he's not there, you know, there's really some good stuff here. And to me, that was enough to upvote it. It's not overwhelming, of course. Everything you said was absolutely valid. And Gary, who I love, tremendous vocalist, tremendous songwriter, love Extreme. Terrible here. Terrible. This song was left off in favor of Josephina, which is a song we haven't covered yet. So I'm not going to tip my hand on whether that was a good idea or not, but it's probably a good idea this wasn't on the album at all. Although if this was on instead of How Many Say I think I would have been okay with that. Even in this rough version.
I agree.
But you know, forget about, you know, the mix and the production, all that, because that would have got all cleaned up. It would have been Van Halenized in post, right? And they would have mastered it all nice and would have sounded really good. Lyrically, it's stupid as hell. Mm-hmm. Vocally, it's stupid as hell. But the band is cooking. And I guess specifically
the boys are cooking.
Yeah, because Mikey's not playing bass on these, right? Like he only played, I don't know if he played bass at all in the summer. It's like two tracks he played bass on. And I don't even think that was him. Like I think, like you said, Mark, that was just Gary doubling himself on the harmonies. I don't even think they actually recorded the harmonies for that yet. So we didn't even get Mikey harmonies on this song yet. You get all that in there. You know, this is absolutely what dreams are made of. As it is right now, it's barely what dreams are made of.
Oof. Well, I respect all of your opinions on it. And that's, you know what, it's, I won't even say you're wrong because you're not wrong, because it's, it, I, all valid reasoning, but yeah, I just couldn't. I couldn't in good consciousness say yay. It had
to be
a nay.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And, you know, and for the last time of the evening, apologies to Gary. But you should pick up that merch in our merch store. go to podcastwillrock.com. Check out that merch. We got a new shirt.
Maybe Gary should get that shirt and just wear it around. Like, these guys fucking rag on me every single show. They do one of my songs. I'm going to wear their goddamn shirt.
Look, if it turns out that Gary stumbles across this show at some point and listens and hears nothing but us, ragging on him, let us just say we don't blame you per se. It's just, this just wasn't the move, my dude. But you know what? If you're a listener by some way, please reach out to us. We would love to have you on the show. We'll talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about. Spill the tea or don't spill the tea. Talk about extreme all you want, all the live long day. We'll do it. We'll reformat the show entirely just to hear you come talk to us. And if you don't, then that's fine too. But there it is. We did another Van Halen 3 track, and I hope we are just one step closer to being done with it, because I am not vibing on Van Halen 3. The journey continues. But
we almost got year to the day and once.
We almost had some really well, good bangers, man.
And Summer Nights.
Summer Nights was right there. Nice. Even Big Bad Bill. I would have loved some Big Bad Bill tonight as opposed to the kind of what we got. But
yeah, almost everything. I would have preferred almost everything.
Maybe.
But that's just, you know,
maybe
just
even one foot out the door, you know.
Yeah.
That maybe would have even been better.
You know what? Fire in the Hole was like four spots away. And I would have listened to Fire in the Hole. I dig that song.
Or Spanked.
The question is.
Oh, Spanked. Yeah. Oh, don't go there.
Yeah. Spanked, Corey. Would you have preferred Spanked over this one?
You know what? Maybe we're going to do Spanked on the live show. We're just going to say fucking do Spanked. So. Why not?
Oh, I hope so. I hope we spin it. And even if we don't spin it, I might lie and say,
it's fucking February.
It.
Yeah. We're just going
to
do it.
It is fucking February. Just get it. You just want to get it out of the way so that we maybe don't have to worry about it anymore.
Hey, we got this one off the wheel. That's not a bad thing.
That is not a bad thing. That's the only solace I'm taking, is there's one more track from Van Halen 3 that's off the wheel, and that's probably a good thing, at least for my own sanity and whatnot. To all of you out there who are fans of this album, though, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just not digging it. So
my condolences.
It is what it is. Yeah, condolences, and one more for the road. Apologies to Gary. There it is. There's the show. We did it. We've made it through. We had some awesome guests to help talk about it with us. Thank you guys so much for being on. Kelsey, tell the people where they can find you, what you got going on, anything you want to promote. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
You can find me on any social media, like Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, as Kelsey Van Halen. I just mainly tweet how much I love Van Halen. I find really funny pictures of them and I tweet it. So if you're into that kind of stuff, follow me.
You talk about the Minnesota Wild on occasion.
Oh, I do talk about hockey too. On occasion. That's another thing. So
you love hockey and Van Halen, yeah.
I love hockey. I love Van Halen and I love Kelsey. I follow her and everything. It's fantastic.
And I love Corey.
Thank you, dear.
Aw, there it is.
I love you too, Mark.
All right. Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Lots of love going all around. That's fine. No, seriously. We love having you. Jeff Saunders, our old friend, our lovely man, charitable man, coming on the show, even with his very limited Van Halen knowledge. That's totally fine, man. We always appreciate you coming in. Please tell the people where they can find you social media wise. And once again, please tell us about St. Baldrick's.
Oh, I will do that. You can find me at Jeff Saunders. I should always write this down. I think it's at Jeff Saunders 74, but it could be at Jeff Saunders 1974.
Keeping it on brand. I love it.
One of those places.
It's one of those. It's one of those.
Attaboy, Jeff. Good job.
I learned from the best. Occasionally, I put out some stuff on the Feeding the Monster podcast feed. But right now the big thing is St. Baldrick's. You can go to stbaldricks.org to learn more. And if you want to look up and support our team from the homepage, you can just do a search for Shaving Lives. And our team is Shaving Lives 2023. And you can make a donation to us. If you'd like to find an event or a team close to you, you can put in your town there, and there probably is a shave event where you live. They do these things all over America, all over the world. Is that me? Oh,
sorry. Technical issue. Never mind.
Yeah, you can look them up that way. And then for our live stream we're going to do on March 2nd, that's going to be around 7:30 Texas time. I think that's Central Standard Time. And it'll be on the Hillbilly Scribs YouTube channel. So that's going to be a whole mess of fun. And hopefully we'll have some familiar faces on there.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for being on the show. March 2nd, once again, the Hillbilly Scribs YouTube channel, the live stream, cavalcade of characters. That's all I can tell you. And again, the live stream hasn't happened. I haven't seen it, but I know Jeff and I know what he's capable of, and I know the hilarity that will ensue. So do yourself a favor. Contribute to a good cause, but also be entertained, because you will most certainly be that. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. I also run the Podcast Will Rock Facebook page, or at least I try to every once in a while throw it on there. You can find, as I said, find me on Twitter, but promote if you are in the Nashville area on February 24th. Come see my Killswitch Engage tribute band Rose of Sharon play. We are playing at a new venue called the Vinyl Lounge. So that'll be a very good show. We're playing with other tribute acts such as a Vulgar Display of Nashville, a Pantera tribute, and Symphony of the Universe, a Black Sabbath tribute. It's going to be just a fun night full of metal, of songs that if you're a metalhead, you probably know. So do me a favor and come say hi if you happen to be in Nashville for that show. And also, if you're listening to this on Friday, when we put the shows out, if there's still time, we've got tickets to sell for the New Wave Order show at the East Side Bowl in Nashville. It's a whole night full of tribute to New Wave of the 80s. Bands like the Psychedelic Furs and Depeche Mode and things of that nature. It's a full night and it's all for a charitable cause. Come on out, listen to songs of yesteryear, and you can look and listen to me act a fool on stage. It's one of my favorite things to do. So thank you. Corey, where can the people find you, and where can they find the things going on with the show?
They can find me at CD Morset. They can find us at www.podcastwillrock.com. Get your merch, get caught up on past episodes. And you can find us at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And you can also find my friend Jeff Saunders. I was able to confirm this because he doesn't know his own handles. At JeffSaunders74 on Twitter. And if you're looking for his YouTube, where he's going to be live streaming, it's at Hillbilly Scribs on YouTube. So check him out there. And check us out Saturday, February 25th. Fuck it, February! We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do whatever the fuck we want. I'm hoping Kelsey will be there. I'm hoping Jeff will be there. I'm hoping all of you will be there too. Come on, log on. We're just going to talk Van Halen. We're going to have some drinks. We're going to have a good fucking time. And that's all we're looking at doing. Coming up on the coming weeks on End the Podcast Will Rock, we have Ryan Powell coming up next Wednesday. We'll be recording that to drop on Friday the 24th. And then after that, we have our friends at the Deep Purple Podcast joining the show. Chaz, who's a frequent commenter, he's going to be on. That'll be on March 10th. That'll be dropping. And I'm still hoping we can maybe get something with the Pod of Thunder guys happening in the middle of the month for our live show in March, maybe March of Thunder, if you will. But we got a lot of great stuff coming up on the show. And as always, go check us out on the Deep Dive Podcast Network. I won't go through all the shows tonight because we're running long, but hit up the web address, deepdivepodcastnetwork.com. Check out all the amazing shows. I know the boys on the Deep Purple Podcast have been really revamping the website. You can get the latest episodes of all of our shows right on the homepage. Go check them out. A lot of fantastic shows.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Thank you to Corey. Thank you to Jeff. And thank you to Kelsey for being part of this show. Once again, we are not experts. We're not a panel of people who are in the biz that know the ins and outs. No, we're just simple fans that enjoy this band called Van Halen, and we like to talk about it for better or for worse. Some tracks are better than others, and sometimes they just don't connect, but it's all love. It's all Van Halen, and it's all fun all the time. At least it is for us here at the show. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.